This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
A bit. We're towards the beginning of the page. We're in two dots. Two dots. Rav Chanina Bar Papa. We talked about last week. We said Rav Chanina Bar Papa. The Rav Papa had 10 sons. Remember that? And in the Siyum, we mentioned all 10 sons of Rav Papa. Why? Because Rav Papa, when his sons made a Siyum, he would make a big party. So Rav Chanina Bar Papa, one of the sons of Rav Papa. And we're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down. 10 lines down. On Lamed Hei Bet, Rav Chanina Bar Papa, Rami Ketiv. Rav Chanina Bar Papa says, there is a stira between two verses. There's a contradiction between two verses. Rami Ketiv. He says there's a contradiction between one verse and another verse. So there are two verses. Okay, Ketiv, one of the verses says on Hosea. Hosea was a prophet in the time of the first temple in the northern kingdom. And the northern kingdom was very, very bad. They were idol worshippers, they were doing worse things. And Hosea really gave up on them. He says, God, he says, divorce them, get rid of them. So God says, you divorce your wife. You know, when you tell me to divorce my children, you divorce your wife. He said, I can't divorce my wife, I have four kids from her. So you married a zona, and you don't even know these kids are really your kids, and you can't divorce your wife, and you're telling me to divorce my children? So Hosea said, okay, I'll do teshuva. I'm going to pray for you to forgive your children. So that's better. And you go back to your wife, and I'll go back to my children, Hashem says. So it turns into a good story, Hosea. That's Hosea. But Hosea is full of warnings, dire warnings. And this is one of the warnings in the book of Hosea. So this is a pasuk in Hosea chapter 2. Since you don't keep the mitzvot, Hosea says, Hashem amar lebnei Yisrael, Hashem said to the Bnei Yisrael, since they don't keep the mitzvot, v'lakachti degani beito. All your produce, I will take your produce away. Hashem says, I will take your produce away. Since you're not listening to me, I will take all your food away, all your produce away from you. Okay. So that is a dire warning, Hosea, right? On the other hand, there's another pasuk. We say in the Shema, in the second paragraph of the Shema, you will gather your grain. It's your grain. So first it says, I will take my grain, Hashem says. And then in the Shema it calls it your grain. Make your mind up. Is it Hashem's grain or is it our grain? Hashem. That's a contradiction. First it says Hashem's grain. Well, actually, it's much later in time. It says Hashem's grain. First it says it's your grain, then Hashem says it's my grain. Make up your mind. Is it ours or is it yours, Hashem? So the answer he gives, look, Hashem, it's not a question. There's no problem. Kan, the pasuk that says it's your grain, Jewish people's grain, bizman shisrael osim ritzono shemakom, when the Jews are doing God's will. Then it's our grain. Kan, when Hashem says, I'll take my grain, that's when the Jews are not doing God's will. She'en Yisrael osim ritzono shemakom. Hashem says, you do my will, I give you the grain. You don't do my will, I take your grain. It's my grain. It's not your grain. It's not your food, it's my food. Okay, so that's a stira. This is very similar to what we said before. Before the bracha, it belongs to Hashem. After the bracha, it belongs to us. But over here, it's a little slightly different. If we behave, it belongs to us. If we don't behave, it belongs to Hashem. Doesn't matter if it's a bracha or a bracha. That's what it seems. Even with a bracha. When does it belong to you after a bracha if you behave? If you don't behave, Hashem says, I'm going to take it away. Bracha, no bracha, I'm going to take it. Okay? So there's two criteria over here. One criteria is behaving, and the other criteria is making a bracha. Two criteria. Okay. We're moving on. Now we come to a very, very famous Gemara. Ari, can you bring me those Rambams on my desk? The open ones, two. There's two. One on top of the other. Thank you so much. Okay, I'll come to a very famous Gemara, is finding the balance between working and learning Torah. The person's got to find a balance. Judaism is all about finding balance. Balance in life. There's so many different things going on in our lives. We have to find a balance. Work, family. With Jews, there's more mitzvot, Torah study. You got to balance. It's like a fit on the roof. It's like a tightrope. Walking a tightrope. We're walking a tightrope in life. How much of this is good? How much of this is good? How do we find a balance? I got to go home, talk to my wife. I got to go to work. I got to go to Torah. I got to do this. I look after the kids. I got to pull in all the different directions. How much?
Rat race.
Yeah, today is a rat race. This is New York. This is Northeast. Northeast corridor. Rat race with a New Jersey Transit on top of it. Oh, boy. It's a mouse race with a New Jersey Transit. Not rats anymore. Terrible. It's a disaster. Okay, so we are discussing this balance in life. So the Gemara now brings a brighter. To explain, so we just brought this pasuk, Ve'asafta diganecha, which we say in the Shema. It's good if you can get a whole bunch of siddurim. Let's go through this second paragraph of the Shema, the English ones. And we'll see this verse inside, and we'll see with the context. Okay? Because the context is very, very important. What's the context of this verse? Thank you so much. The context of this verse. And we're on page 138. And Hashem says, and if you will keep my mitzvah that I command you this day to love God, and serve Him with all your heart and with all your souls, then Hashem says, I'll send the rain in its right season. Your rain, of course, the early rain, the late rain. You'll gather your grain. This is exactly what we're talking about. This part of the verse. And you'll gather your grain. With tiroshecha and your wine, with tzarecha and your oil. And I'll give grass in your field for your animals. And you'll be satisfied. Beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bracha. If you listen to God's mitzvot, Hashem says, I'll give you bracha. I'll give you bracha and you'll gather your grain. Now, is gathering your grain a bracha or a klala?
Bracha.
Is gathering grain a blessing or not such a big blessing?
It's a blessing.
Well, number one is, it's great. You got food. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
It's a bracha, right? But the fact that you have to do it, is that good or bad? Maybe someone else should do it for you. Right? So that's the question over here. It says, you will gather your grain. Does that imply you have to go to work? Is that good or bad? We're going to see. Two different opinions over here. So the grain part is very good. The question is now, who gathers it? Right? What do you think? Would you like other people to gather for you? Isn't it better to have a combine harvester working by GPS with a computer and that's it, and you don't have to do anything?
Drone.
That's what they do today. That's what they're doing today.
Send a drone and gather.
Is that permissible?
Of course, 100%. You should do less work. We should learn more Torah, do less work. Today it's very possible. It's coming to that point where a person won't have to leave the house. You work from home, and all the robots and everything's done for you. It's happening around us. A lot of people work from home now.
The best is to have an office right next to the shul.
The best is to live in the shul.
Yeah, that's
okay. But even then, you can learn Torah anywhere. You don't have to be in the shul to learn Torah. You can learn Torah anywhere. But it's best, obviously, in a Beit Midrash where you're surrounded with books and there's an atmosphere. Okay, so let's go into this verse. So now, Tan Rabbanan, we learned in a Braita. The rabbis learned in a Braita. A Braita, we said, is a Mishnah which is not included in the Mishnah Yod. It's outside the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi did not include it when he compiled the Mishnah, but it's equivalent. It's equivalent of a Mishnah. Same time zone. You'll gather your grain. Ma tamu lomar. What is this telling us? Obviously, it's a bracha. Obviously, it's a bracha. Everyone has to gather their grain. What is it telling us? So the Baita says, the Fish Nehemiah, it says in Yoshua. Now we come to the crux. The Pasuk says in Yoshua, this is very fascinating. Yoshua was commanded to go and conquer Canaan. Now, there's a beautiful Rashi. There's an amazing Rashi. You know, the Palestinians today are saying they're the Canaanites. You know that? Just last Friday, there were 6 UN resolutions against Israel.
Really? Why?
That it's not our land, and it's not Jerusalem is not ours. And da, 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 da.
Oh.
6 resolutions, and now the latest is the Palestinians are claiming that they are the Canaanites because the Bible says that Joshua conquered the Canaanites. So who's the Canaanites? They're the Canaanites. All of a sudden they're Canaanites now. They're the Palestinians. They're the Canaanites. Yeah, now the Canaanites. So there's a beautiful Rashi. There's two Rashis that address this. The first Rashi is the first Rashi in the whole Humash, where he says, Hashem, why does Hashem have to mention that he created the world? He says, because later on the non-Jews will say, you robbed our land.
Right. Oh, wow.
So Hashem says, I created the world. I gave them the land. What are you complaining about? I'm the one who created the world. If I create the world, I can give the Jews the land. They didn't rob it. I gave it to them. That's number one. Number two, Rashi is amazing. It's in chapter 12. Chapter 12, Bereishit, where it says, Hashem told Abraham, I'm going to give you this land. And then it says, V'akanani az ba'aretz. The Canaanites were then in the land. Rashi says an amazing thing. He says, the Canaanites stole the land from Shem. Mm. The land belonged to Noah, split the world. He gave Shem the land of Israel.
Wow.
How do we know? Because Shem was living there. He was Malchi Tzedek Melech Shalem. He was the king of Yerushalayim at that time. He was Malchi Tzedek, the king of righteousness. And the Canaanites came, and over a period of time, they stole the land from the sons of Shem. And Hashem says, I'm going to give it back to you, Abraham. I'm going to give it back to your descendants. So because you are from the sons of Shem, Abraham Avinu was a descendant of Shem, the land belongs to you, and they stole it from us. I'm going to give it back to you. So in other words, we didn't steal their land, they stole our land. So when Joshua's going to conquer it, he's going to conquer his own land from Shem, the Shem's land, which the Canaanites took. The Canaanites are descendants of Ham, the other brother. Mm. And we're descendants of Shem. So interesting. So two answers Rashi gives. I wish Yeshiva would know the second answer. They don't even know the first answer. Let's assume they do. Most people know the first answer because you can't avoid the first Rashi, right? But you can avoid the other Rashis. So one Rashi says, Hashem created the world, he can give us the land of Israel if he wants to. Second Rashi says that the Canaanites, we didn't steal from the Canaanites. Everyone says we stole it from the Canaanites. The Canaanites stole it from us because we are descendants of Shem and the land of Israel belongs to the sons of Shem. Who said? Noah. Noah inherited the world and he gave it, split it among the world, his sons.
So, is there a spokesperson to speak up in the UN?
Yes, say? There was. If you remember Herzog. He was the Israeli representative of the United Nations. He went there once with his Bible, and he opens the Bible up, and he says, here, God created the world, and he gave us the land of Israel. What are you complaining about? Mm-hmm. It didn't help much. Okay, but they keep adjusting their message to fit our Bible. Now they're Canaanites. Now. That's the latest. latest are the Canaanites. Okay, good. I'm glad you said you're Canaanites because Rashi says you're robbers. You robbed it from the sons of Shem.
No Islam doing Canaan.
And of course not. No, but they claim to be originally from. Okay. Liars. It's lies. All lies. Okay. It sounds good though. So what do we say? So on the one hand, it says Joshua is now conquering land. What's he worried about? He has to fight a battle. So he's worried about fighting the battle, and then he sees this massive warrior in front of him with a big sword. He says, who are you? Are you on our side or on their side? He says, I am the general of the Lord of hosts. I am from Hashem's army. I am fighting your war, not you. I'm fighting the battle over here. You should go and learn Torah.
Nice.
He tells Yeshua. Yeshua's busy thinking about how to fight the battle. He sees this apparition, this massive guy, his general with a big sword. He says, who are you? He says, you think you're fighting the battle? I'm the fighting the battle. I am the general of God's army. You go learn Torah. Vagita boyom v'layla. You have to learn Torah day and night. We take out the Sefer Torah. The words of Torah should not depart from your mouth. Vagita boyom v'layla. You will learn day and night. So the Gemara says, 1 second. We just said you'll gather your corn, your grain, and then the other verse says you have studied Torah day and night. You make your mind up. Are you going to gather your grain or are you going to study Torah day and night? That's the question. That is the tightrope we're walking. On the one hand, there's a mitzvah to study Torah day and night. On the other hand, there's a mitzvah to go and gather your grain. How do you cut the dice? How do you cut it? Which way does it cut? Right? That's the question. So the one that says, V'asavta deganecha, says in the Shema, the second paragraph we just read, you'll gather your grain, matamud loma, what is it telling you? Obviously you have to gather grain. It says, in Joshua it says, the Sefer Torah should not depart your mouth. Maybe you should explain it according to the simple explanation that a person should learn Torah and a person should not go and earn a living. that you should be busy learning Torah day and night. Tamu lomar, so this pasuk in the Shema tells you, Hanheg bahen minhag derech eretz. You do have to go to work and act as normally as possible in the way of the world. So you're right, there's a mitzvah to learn Torah 24/7. However, there's also a mitzvah to go to work. So that's the balance. So when you're going to work, you don't have to learn Torah. When you learn Torah, you don't have to go to work. I mean, you have to, there's a balance over here. So how much work and how much Torah? That's the question. Very good question, right? So where is this balance of... This is the halakha, basically. The Vilna Gaon sums it up. He says, as long as you need to go to work, you're patur for learning Torah. But once you finish working, Torah. And work includes whatever you need to do to have a regular existence. You need to go to laundry, you need to look after your wife, you need to go to a doctor, whatever it is, your regular existence. But as soon as you finish, whatever you're doing, there's no leisure. Sometimes you do need leisure as well, just to clear your mind. And then straight away Torah. But there's no gray. There's either this or this. Either you're busy doing one thing or you're busy learning Torah. There's no escape. There's no escape. Anyway, that's what it seems from this opinion. This is the opinion of Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says, work and learn. Let's do that again. Rabbi Shmuel says, work and learn. Do both. You have to work and learn. That's Rabbi Shmuel.
If I wanted to, I could, I mentioned to you before that I'm going to school again. So I could, on a break or anything like that, I can bring the chumash.
100%. That's what you should be doing. As soon as you finish your work, you learn. You finish studying, you learn.
Not to make an excuse, oh, I'm going to wait for home.
Exactly.
So I could, technically, I just can wrap up the chumash.
That's a tzaddik. I used to take around a guy, his name is Rabbi Blau. Alav Hashem, big tzaddik, he really was. He escaped through Shanghai. He was one of the lucky guys who went through Shanghai. Mir Yeshiva escaped the Holocaust through Shanghai. Big tzaddik. Every second he was not busy talking to people or doing something productive, he was studying. Like this. He was going like this, non-stop. His mouth was moving. Learning Gemara. All the time. You talk to him, he turn to you, talk to you, and then go back. Second. I don't know how he did it. He was not distracted. This man was not distracted. He carried with him his food wherever he went. He's amazing, this guy. Pick him up at the airport. He's got two big boxes. I said, in those days, you can have two suitcases. What's in the suitcase? heavy, very heavy suitcase. What is that? Canned chicken soup.
Yeah.
He had these frozen chicken soup. His wife made chicken soup. He's come from Brooklyn. He goes to Vancouver with his frozen chicken soup. And that's his meal. He says, can you give me your pots? And he makes his soup. And then he goes and buys a fresh pineapple. That was his diet. Chicken soup and pineapple. He wouldn't eat anything from anyone else. That's it. Chicken soup and pineapple. That's how he lived. And every other second, he was Moses in a book. And he'd hand out free tefillin and free mezuzot to people. And then he'd go collecting. I had to go take him to all the rich people to collect money so he can pay others to give free mezuzot and free tefillin. They give out free tefillin and mezuzot. You have mezuzot? No. Here, take. You have tefillin? No. Take.
Wow.
Tzadik. He's a tzadik. That's what he did. He spent his life doing mezuzot. He nearly died, so... And he's an old man already. He was really an old man. He really was. He was very schlepping around the world doing mitzvot. Psst, amazing guy. Really amazing guy. And he'd study all the time.
What's his name?
Blau. B-L-A-U. Amazing. Rabbi Blau. Amazing tzaddik. Big tzaddik. I'm very lucky. I knew him. I'm very lucky he stayed in my house. Big bracha. Really big bracha. The kids knew him when they were small. Okay. So I'm just giving an example of how a person can study at the same time, and then when he's free, he does other things. When he's free, he goes back to study. You have to have a mind like you can focus in 2 seconds. You go back and focus. It's amazing how people lose their track. Are you learning Gemara? How's he doing it? I don't know how he does it. But they say all the greats. Rav Moshe Feinstein would learn when he would walk for his aliyah. Imagine, he's getting aliyah to the Sefer Torah. He's saying Mishnayot by heart. You walk down the street, Mishnayot by heart. He's regurgitating his Mishnayot. Yeah. Truth is, we all should know something by heart. But everyone Jew should know some Torah by heart. So you're alone by yourself in a train. Today you have all these gadgets. You put in your headphones and you listen to tapes. And, So it's much easier today than before. But at least you should know something by heart. If you're stuck somewhere, at least you say, Shir Lama Lord, say Mizmor David. Sing some psalms in your head. So this way you occupy the Torah. It's good. Keep your mind busy. Okay, so that's Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Ishmael is the most leading opinion. Rabbi Ishmael says, you have to work and you have to learn. When you're working, you're working. When you're learning, you're learning. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, extreme. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, extreme. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was one of the students of Rabbi Akiva. Five students of Rabbi Akiva. Let's go through them again quickly. Rabbi Meir Balanes. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Keep going. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta. Rabbi Laza Ben Shamua. And, quickly. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. Five students of Rabbi Akiva. Let's go again. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, write this down. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Meir Balanes, Rabbi Laza Ben Shamua, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta, and Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. So whenever the Mishnah says Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, student of Rabbi Akiva. It says Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir Balanes. It says Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. They're all in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah basically is Rabbi Akiva. People don't realize that. Unless you had the students, you had the rabbis of Rabbi Akiva sometimes. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, the rabbis of Rabbi Akiva. And he argues with his rabbi sometimes.
Rabbi,
so,
huh? Ben Shimon?
Elazar. And Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta. These are big names. I don't remember these names. It's easy when you go to Israel, you go to the graves, and you remember. That's Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai right there. It's beautiful.
Are they all in one area?
Yeah, in the Galilee. In the Galilee, because that's where the Romans didn't destroy the Galilee. All the Jews ran away to the Galilee. Rabbi Akiva was buried in the Galil, not far from the Rambam, in Tiberia. That's what they say. Who knows?
Yeah.
The grave is marked, Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef. Akiva ben Yosef, I was there, and next to him is the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. Again, that's also questionable, but there's a mikveh there, and you go there, and you pray, and then hopefully Hashem will answer you. It's called the Sadiqim. It's very nice. It's very nice, because there's a little yeshiva there as well.
Really?
Very nice. The next, a few miles away, you got the Rambam and all the greats, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, all around the Rambam. All the greats, the great rabbis around him, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi. Okay. And then on that area, they have the great rabbis, Hillel, Shammai, all buried over there. They're all buried over there. All the greats. All right. The great authors of Mishnah. So what do we say so far? We had the view of Rabbi Ishmael. Now we come to the view of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer. Now don't forget, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai hid in the cave, right? Mm-hmm. How many years in the cave? 13 in the end, right? 12 plus another year to go back. So 13 years, who's supporting him?
The carob tree.
The carob tree and the stream. He didn't work. So now he's anti-work. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is anti-work. So look what I achieved in the cave. Every Jew should be like this. Hashem Baruch Hamer. If Shah Adam Choresh Pshat Harisha, if a guy's going to go to work in a normal way, look at this. If a person's going to work, he's going to go and plow when it's time for plowing. Bezoreh b'shazriyah, he's going to sow his crops when it's time for sowing. Bekoseh b'shakasirah, he's going to harvest when it's time for harvesting. Bedash b'shadishan, he's going to thresh when it's time for threshing. Bezoreh b'shad charuach, and he's going to winnow in the wind when it's time for the winnowing. Torah mateh, he's going to be busy all year round. He's not going to have time to learn Torah. Never had combine harvesters in those days. It's a very labor-intensive work. Farming is very labor-intensive. So when is he going to learn Torah? He's going to be busy all year round. Ela, so what do you have to do? Bizman Yisrael osim rasono shel makom, when the Jews do the will of God, melachtan na'asit al yedei acharim. Other people will support them. Other people do their work, and they won't have to do the work. Shneimar, as it says in Yeshayahu, ve'amdu zarim v'ra'u tzonchem. Strangers will come and look after your sheep. Okay, we're waiting for that day to come when the nations of the world will say, it's all on me. Okay, just go to the Torah. We'll support you. Trump will pass the law. Jews don't have to go to work. Jews have to go and study. And Social Security will support them. Let's not say Social Security. It's not a good word.
World peace breaks.
Defense budget will be cancelled and support the Jews learning Torah.
Doesn't say beat your swords into plowshares.
Yes, beat the swords into plowshares, exactly.
And your spears into pruning
hooks. That's right. So what's going to happen to the defense budget? It's all going to go to medical, social, and supporting the Jews learning Torah. We'll all be like Lakewood. So that's the ideal. That's what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says. The Kollel is the ideal system. All the Jews should be learning Torah, and other people should support them. It's a very old concept, Yisachar and Zevulun. One tribe of Zevulun would be the merchants and support the other tribe of Yisachar. So we have it in our history. But Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says Zevulun should also be learning Torah, not going to support their brothers. They should be learning Torah themselves. Everyone should learn Torah. But if you do the will of God, God says, don't worry, it's on me. What's the problem? You think God can't support you? He supported us 40 years in the desert. If he can support it, that was the biggest kollel in history. Right? What was the biggest kollel in history? 2 million Jews in the desert learning, and the manna's falling from heaven. But when the Jews are not doing the will of God, then they have to do their own work. So therefore, look what he says. According to Rishim Barichai, gathering your grain is not a blessing. It's half a blessing. The half blessing is you have grain, you have food to eat. But the other half is a curse that you have to gather yourself. Which is very harsh, right? In the context of this of the verses, it seems like a great blessing. Since you're listening to the mitzvot, it seems like they're listening to the mitzvot, but they're not listening. It was half-hearted listening to mitzvot. That's how he explains the pasuk. It's very hard. Rabbi Shmuel says that is the bracha. The bracha, the biggest bracha is you go to work and you go to learn, and Hashem blesses your work. That's a blessing. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says no. That's half a blessing. The best blessing is other people go to work for you. Okay. But look, so why? Because if you have grain and you have to work your grain, it's half a blessing because you can't have time to learn. And only that, you have to do other people's work as well. If you don't behave, there's different levels of not behaving. If you don't behave, Hashem says, you have to go to work. If you really don't behave, you have to do other people's work as well. Terrible. They'll make you into slaves. Forced labor. You don't want to accept God's will? Forced labor. You have to go and do other people's work. No time for learning Torah at all. It's terrible. We saw it in our own lifetime. Well, before my lifetime, Baruch Hashem. Forced labor, conscripted labor, it's terrible. So that is a curse, that is a real curse. The real curse is, if you have no time to learn Torah, we're talking about rat race. The guy has to work, no time to learn Torah, it's the biggest curse. Why do you have to work so hard? Find a job which doesn't have to work so hard. Who says you have to work so hard?
But that's on the individual, that's not...
It's on the individual, just like there is a curse on a community, there's also a curse on individuals. Some individuals do it to themselves. They run and run and run and run. They don't have to run so hard.
Workaholics.
Had a guy in Vancouver, I'll never forget. He was a pharmacist. I did the breed of his grandson, but he was dead already. He died of a heart attack at the age of 40-something, 45. And I said he was open 24-7 pretty much. I don't know, 18-7 or whatever it was. He worked like a dog. And his wife says, you know, he left us very comfortable, Baruch Hashem. At least he had a grandson who's Jewish, Baruch Hashem. Had a breed as well. But he wasn't there to see it. So tragic. So that's it. People just work. And that's it. Goodbye. So what's the idea? The idea is you've got to learn as well. You've got to find a balance. Because learning Torah brings you to Olam Haba. The work, where's it going to get you? It may get you to a comfortable retirement, but that's it. So let's recap. We have a machloket over here. There's two verses. One verse says you will gather your grain. And the other verse says you will study Torah day and night. Hey, make your mind up. Is it gathering grain or study Torah day and night? And the answer is, Rabbi Shema says, you have to have a balance between work and study Torah. So you have to go and work, and you've got to study Torah. So you've got to find the balance. That's your problem. That's you have to find a balance. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, no, working is a curse. And the worst curse is to work for other people as well. Not just do your work, you have to do work for other people as well. Different levels. The blessing is you have food. But to make you have to do it yourself. The blessing is if other people do your work for you. The blessing is Hashem will provide for you. Like him. He didn't have to do anything. If you live simply, the less overheads you have, the more simply you live, the less expenses you have, the more you can get by with less. That's what he's saying. Get by with less. Live on carbs, and you won't have to go to work. Anyone over here live on carbs? By the way, I saw a lot of carbs just yesterday.
Really? Where?
Stop and Shop, around Stop and Shop. I don't know if they're real edible carrots, but there's carrots on the floor all over the place. Wow. The whole place littered with the carrots. You see them?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe my eyes. I never noticed them before. It was just yesterday I noticed them. Because they're right in front. You go walking on them, that's why.
It must be a cave.
Hey, Rabbi.
There's like 5-6 trees all of us.
Sharing something with you.
So he is. Just for this Gemara.
Exactly.
He's telling me, don't go inside Stop and Shop, just eat the carrots from the outside. I can never eat a carob. I can't eat one carob. There's books over here. So I couldn't even want a carob.
Are carobs nutritious?
Yes. Very nice. You can live on it for 13 years.
I guess.
Carobs and water.
Really?
Okay. Okay, now bottom line.
What do you do for Kiddush?
Amar Abaye, look at the bottom line. This is the Amorai. The next generation down is commenting on what the Tanayim, the authors of the Mishnah said. Next generation. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, listen, I'm going to see practically what happened. Harbe asu k'divi Rabbi Ishmael. Many follow the opinion of Rabbi Ishmael, which is combine your work and your Torah study. V'altabi adan, and they were successful. They survived, they had Parnasa, and they studied Torah. They were successful. They did both. They studied and they worked. Good. Many did, like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. V'lo al tabi adan. Many people tried to do Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, just work and not go to work, just study and don't go to work, and they couldn't manage. They fell by the wayside. So in other words, what's he telling us? He says the system is broken. You can't just go and study all day. You need to go to work, otherwise you're going to be a pauper or you're going to go steal. Right? Either you're going to die of starvation or you're going to steal. So he says, find the balance. Abai is saying, just tell him, he's not saying, oh, the halakha is interesting. He's saying, look around you and see what works. What works is, you go to work and you study. That's what works. The other side doesn't work. Very few were successful just by going study. Belo'od. Okay. Okay, so there's two great rabbis, Abaye and Rava. Rava said to his students, look what Rava said to his students. Matuta binachim, I'm pleading with you, please. Biyomei Nisan, in the month of Nisan, that's the time of the harvest, busy season for farmers. Biyomei Tishrei, and the month of Tishrei, when you go and they produce, they squeeze the olives and they squeeze the wine. Lo titchazu kamai, don't come to the academy. Don't come to yeshiva Nisan or Tishrei. By the way, it's also holiday times. Pesach and it's Tishrei. But it's also a very busy season for farmers. I don't want to see you, he says. Have a successful season in your farming, and then you can study for Torah properly. Don't cut your work, because then you'll find your studies will also suffer. So do your work at the right time, make your money, and then come study.
He's elevating...
These are practical advice. Practical advice. So in other words, there's halakha, and there's aspirations, and then just be practical. How do you get practical? So the answer is just look around, what works? Whatever works, go for it. It works to study and learn, work and study. It works to just learn, but it doesn't. That's the trouble. A lot of people tried it, it didn't work. Today, there's a system of kollel. But even then, the kollels pay very little. You have to have a very special wife who'll bear that kind of labor and go to work for you. Mm. It's very hard.
But that's a brilliant... What he said is so brilliant.
Of course he's brilliant.
The thing being is that on a practical level, so your work, so your mind is focusing on the work and doing the best you can at your work. And then, when you come back, then your mind is
you're
not
peace.
Preoccupied.
Right, exactly, you're at peace.
Yeah.
Peace and all pieces. Okay. Now we come to Rambam. Let's go to practical halakha. Before we go to the Rambam, let's go to Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, this is what the Shulchan Aruch wants to... This is brought down the Shulchan Aruch in Or HaChaim, of all places. Kuf Nun Vav. See, when Kuf Nun Vav, when he talks about the mitzvah of going to work. So first he says, you go to pray. He talks about all the laws of prayer. And then he says, after you pray, look what he says. After you come out of the shul, go to the Beit Midrash. Obviously, it's very easy. You just walk from here to downstairs. You pray Shacharit, then you go and study Torah. And fix a time to study. Right? Even if you think you're going to lose a lot of money, fix a time for study. So he advises study in the morning. And then before you go to study, have a bite to eat. So this is the order, Jewish order of Shulchan Aruch. Shacharit, breakfast, study. Okay, then he says, after you study, ahakach yalech lasakav. Go to work. Hear that? So, pray, eat, study, work. Then you go to work. Why? The whole Torah she'eni ma'malacha sova betelav goret avon. He quotes Mishnah Pirkei Avot. Every Torah study where there's no work is eventually going to be annulled and going to lead to sin. That's why. Because a person won't be able to survive. They'll go steal, trick, this and that and the other. It's going to lead to sin. Why? Ki ha'oni yavir al dar kono. The poverty will make him transgress God's will. Okay. So very important to go to work. And then he says, again, it's like a tightrope. Lo yaseh belachto ikar. Don't make your work the main thing. El arai. The work is just a mechanism by which you get by. The main thing in life is Torah. The work is the side product of Torah. In other words, it should just be enough to maintain yourself. It's not the main thing. Whereas people think of careers, career, career, career. What about Torah study? Well, when I get retired, when I do this, when I do that. But if you make your Torah your main thing and the rest, you're working in order to support yourself, everything will work. And then he says, V'isavi yitem b'muna. And when you work, work with honesty. V'izaheb and askif shev shemayin batala. Don't use God's name in vain. Don't take oaths. Okay, so this is, then he gives advice about how to go to work in a clean, honest way. Very, very, look, this is such a short little section over here about going to work, but it's so powerful. Okay, now let's go down to the Mishnah Berurah over here. A person should not make their work the main thing. What does that mean? He should work enough for his parnasah. Okay? He should go. And he shouldn't be persuaded by the Yetzirah to work too hard. So a person's got to figure out, this is what Mishnah Berurah says, Eikar shibonen be'atzmo. A person's got to figure out for himself. What is, does he really need to get by?
He says it's Yetzirah that makes you work.
Makes you work more than necessary.
Meaning workaholics.
Yeah, what do you need to get by? How much do you need to get by? A person's got to think. It's pretty practical. Go to a financial planner and say, how much do I need to get by? Now, it depends. It's $1 million question. Probably need $1 million. It's $1 million question. How much do you need to get by? You have yeshiva tuition, that's already put you in a different league already. Yeah, that's already... Hey, that's a hard one. That's a hard one. People have to work hard. It's no joke. So you have to know what is... people today can't work 3 hours a day. You got to work for a full day, and then but you have to know you have to. Yeah, that's not the main thing. The main thing is to go and study after it. I know what it's like. I still do it myself. Go to work and then come back and study, and you're exhausted. It's exhausting. It's back breaking and mind breaking. It's hard. But at least a good hour a day studying, or 2 hours a day. Then you go home, you study by yourself a little bit, and you're tired, and then you go to sleep. Yeah. And this way, mishkachat avon. There's no time for sin, honestly. Person back break work and he's driving and that. He goes back to study Torah. There's no time to mess around. There's no time to fool around. You're busy doing work. You're busy doing. Definitely, it works. This system works. The system works. Katvu asfari. This is now the Mishnah, the Bir Halacha. Shezeh oneh ba'alech lal ha'olam. This advice, Rabbi Shmuel, is for most people. You got to work. You got to learn. It's most people. Not everyone can reach this very high level of just studying Torah all day. Aval anashim yechidim, but individuals who can get to this level, and that's what the Gemara says, Rabbi says. Many people did Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and they didn't do it. Only a few could do like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. If you can be one of those few who could do like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and study Torah all day, that's the idea. If you can be one of the few. But not everyone can do it. So people's got to know themselves. But Saloma Dafka Harbe, many people couldn't do it. But if you're one of the few who can, and you have the Mesirat Nefesh, which is the ability to sacrifice for that sake, then you're on a high level. That's the highest level. Okay. So, obviously, the masses cannot do it. We don't tell the masses, go and study Torah day. Masses go to work.
Mass is good at work, but make sure you fix times for study. It's very, very important to fix times for study. But one or two people can go and do it. We're going to come to it. Okay. That's the halakha. So halakha is, Shulchan Aruch says, let's recap. You go to Shacharit, you go have breakfast, you go to Beit Midrash, and then you go to work. And then he quotes, if you a person called to Rashi any moment, Malachasol, then Bitelav, Gori, Tavon. You think he didn't have a trade, Rav Shimon Barai? He did have a trade.
Oh.
All these great rabbis in Sfat. Yeah. Rav Yosef Karo had a trade. The Arizal had a trade. They all had trades. That's how they, in Sephardic countries, all the rabbis had trades. They all had trades. They had to support themselves. Okay, let's go to the Rambam. Rambam says, okay. this Rambam is in the third chapter of Talmud Torah. B'shlosha kitarim nichtaru Yisrael. The Jews were crowned with three crowns. Keter Torah, Keter Kuna, Keter Malchut. The crown of Torah study, which is the glory a person gets at their Torah scholar. Rabbi, and they go visit the house. You see in Israel, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, they're all rabbi, kavod, what honor the person gets, even though he's a pauper. He's a pauper. He lives like a pauper. He is a pauper, and he gets tremendous honor because of his Torah study. That's the crown of Torah. And then there's a crown of being a Kohen. In those days, today, a big deal, but in those days, Kohen Gadol, the crown of the Torah. And then you had the crown of the kingship. Okay, so King David, who was the king, had tremendous honor. So three crowns. Crown of Torah study, which is available to anyone. A Kohen, obviously, you can't be a Kohen. You have to be a Kohen from birth. A king, you can't be a king. You've got to be a king and son of David. But to be a person who has learned Torah, anyone can be. The crown of Torah is placed in the corner. Whoever wants it can take it. And it's ready for all the Jews. It says, Torah tivelanu Moshe morasha kilat Yaakov. The Torah is inheritance to all the community of Jacob. All of us can inherit the Torah. It's up to us. You want to put your mind to Torah study, you get the crown of Torah. You don't put your mind to Torah study, you won't get the crown of Torah. Very simple. It's all dependent on you. And then he says, mitzvah to go to work. Mitzvah should go to work. Okay? And then he says, Shema tomorrow. Ashika betz mamon achzor vikra. A person should say, maybe he'll say to himself, let me go and collect some money and then I'll go and learn study Torah. Let me get money first. First let me go and buy what I need and then I'll have time to learn Torah. If this thought comes to you in your heart, you'll never get Torah study. In other words, people keep pushing it off. There'll always be a million excuses. When I do this, I'll do this. When I get this, I'll get this. When I get a pension, I'll learn Torah. Yeah, Rabbi, I'm coming. Another 5 years, I'll be comfortable. I'll come study Torah with you. Another 10 years, I'll be comfortable. I'll come study Torah with you. I'll retire, Rabbi. I'll come study Torah with you. And you know what? He'll never study.
Can you also say that that's an evil inclination?
Takor, 100%. That's what it is. And that's what the Mishnah says. Prikav, he quotes another Mishnah. And that's amazing. Prikav, what is everything? When I have time, I will study, in case you'll never have time. So, don't delay. It's a very big mussar, Rama gives. Rama himself never delayed. His brother supported him, and he studied. He never delayed. He studied. He got the crown of the Torah. He really did. Okay, now we come to a very important Rambam. Again, this is not for the masses. So the masses, people come to Rabbi and say, Rabbi, what should I do? Depends on you. If you're part of the masses, most people can't do what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says. Most people cannot just study Torah. You have to go to work. Your average Joe goes to work, just make sure you fix times every day to study Torah. That's the obligation. The obligation is kavata etim leTorah, you fix time to study Torah. At least an hour of solid Torah study. At least an hour. At least. However, there is a minority of people who can reach that level where they just say, you know what, I'm just going to study Torah. And the truth is, you go to Israel, you see people. You go to Lakewood, you see people who are just studying Torah. I had a friend of mine. I don't know how he did it, really. He was a genius. He was meant to be, his father, his parents are doctors. And he was intellectual, this kid. Right through school, I knew him from school. And he was going to be, he was science genius, math genius, anything genius. And he goes to the yeshiva and he becomes the genius of the yeshiva. Really, it's my merit to know him. Yeah. And, okay, so I'm here and I meet him over here in Lakewood. He's still in the yeshiva. A genius of Lakewood. But you go to his house, his furniture is falling apart. His kids are half hungry. His wife is nothing, no jewelry, no nothing. They live very simply. So they have sacrificed. So not everyone can do that. That's what he's saying. Not everyone can do that. Have single-mindedness on Torah, and that's it. You have to marry a special woman, and you have to have a special family. It's not. So it's a big struggle. I don't know what he's doing now, but I think he got a job doing something. Couldn't afford it. But he's already a genius. He's a genius. Man's a genius. He knows the whole Torah, backwards and forwards. Gemara, Rashi, Tosfot, everything. So now the Rambam is going into Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. This is a very famous Rambam. It's the end of Hilchot Shemitah. At the end of the laws of Shemitah. Why do the Levites not get a portion of the land of Israel? Hashem says, don't give them a portion. Because they are, I am their portion, Hashem said. What do you mean, the Levites don't have a portion of the land of Israel? If they own farms, then they'd be busy with their farms. They're not allowed to own farms. They're supported by the tithes of the people. 10% of your produce goes to the Levites. Why? They are separated to serve Hashem in order to teach His Torah to other people. As it says, Yeruch Mishpat El Yaakov to Rachel Israel. They will teach the laws to Yaakov and the Torah to Israel. And therefore they are separated from the ways of the world and they're not allowed to go to war. Elohim Chayil Hashem. There is the army of God. Okay? And Hashem is their portion. Now then he says the family very radical. This is a Rambam, this is a very radical Rambam over here. And this is exactly Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. This is what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is saying. Velo Shevet Levi Vavad. This doesn't only apply to Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi. Ela kol ish ve'ish, mikol bay ha'olam. Any single person. This is a very radical Rambam here. From anywhere in the world. Doesn't seem even, not even Jewish even. This is very strange, right? He doesn't say any single Jew. He says any person from around the world. Asher nidba nadva rucho oto. That his soul is pushing him. And he wants to separate himself to stand in front of Hashem. To serve Hashem and to ladar Hashem, to know Hashem. And he pushes off himself the yoke of the work. He becomes holy, the holy of holies, and Hashem will be his portion forever. And somehow he'll manage to get by this world, just like the priests and the Levites. So that is the highest level. That's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But it's, the Rama says it's for everyone. It's wild. It's everyone in the world. What does that mean, everyone in the world? So even non-Jew comes along, he says, all I care about is God. So even he will get a portion. It's a very radical Rambam over there. But what do we see over here? The majority is Rabbi Shmuel. You have to work and you have to learn Torah. The question is, how do you balance the two? How much work do you need to do? So a person's going to sit with his wife and say, what do we need? What is our budget? What do we need? How are we going to retire? Person's going to figure everything out in a very natural way, not relying on miracles. What do we need? What do we need to do? How do we get to our thing? And there's an interesting book in our library called The Meister Plan. Have you heard of it? M-E-I-S-T-E-R. There's a guy, Meister. And he figured out a way to save money and invest and also to learn to write. I think it's a beautiful book. You should definitely get hold of it. Meister Plan. We have it somewhere. M-E-I-S-T-E-R. And he also told us how he studied. Making notes on everything, so this way he remembered. Like when he learned Gemara, you're not just learning Gemara and just forgetting it after you learn it. Take notes and then go over the notes, and this way you remember. Over here it says this, and over here it says that, and over here it says this one, says this one. So it's not just working and then get. No, it's a system. Put a system together of life to work, to learn, and to remember what you learned. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.